So this is Claire Coyne. It's the 29th of October, 2014. And I'm interviewing Tony Worley in his home near White Hart Lane. So Tony, I've introduced you, but if you could now give your name and your year of birth and where you were born.
Good afternoon. I'm Tony Worley. I live in Haringey now. I was born on the 2nd of September 1946 in a British military hospital in Trieste, Italy. My father was in the British Army in the Second World War. And my mother is from Istria, or was from Istria. Unfortunately, both of my parents are now deceased.
And since you've just mentioned your mum and dad, it's a good time to ask you now. I know your dad was in the army, but what did he mainly do during his working life? And did your mum work as well?
My father worked for Whitbreads, the brewery in Chiswell Street, doing various jobs. That's why we lived in a brewery house in Chiswell Street. And my mother at various times worked for different groups, especially dealing with sewing and machine work like that.
And which schools did you go to yourself, just briefly?
My primary school was St Joseph's Bunhill Row, which meant from where I lived in Chiswell Street, I never had to cross a road. And my secondary school was St Aloysius College, Highgate.
And again, just in one or two sentences, what did you do during your working life?
During my working life, I started off, I worked in the King's Head pub opposite for a little while, but then I started work in the town hall of Islington and got a job in an office there. And a colleague I knew introduced me to environmental health. And I applied for a student environmental health inspector's job, well, it was called health inspector then. I succeeded in getting it. I then qualified in 1971. Worked for Islington for quite some time. Went on various jobs and did a lot of different jobs. I was a group leader of the scientific services at times. As a result of that, we were doing the investigation into the railway line coming from Folkestone up to London, which initially was going to come under South London, but then it changed its mind. And I gave evidence at committees on in the House of Commons and the House of Lords. And I did various other things, but I got a little bit tired of living in the sort of London where we were then. And also for our two children, we wanted to somewhere where they could educate properly. So we moved to Welwyn Garden City. And when I was there, I then sort of, I resigned from Islington. I then got a job in Luton doing health and safety. And I did that for quite a while until about 4 years ago. Then I retired full stop.
Lovely. Okay, thank you very much. So we'll go straight to talking about the Temple of Mithras now. I know that you mentioned you were eight at the time.
Yeah.
And I know you've got a particular kind of context about your association with the site. So if you want to plunge in and tell me what your first memory of it is.
Yes, if I can. What it was, my mother was from Istria and were very interested in history, especially Roman history, because there's a wonderful Colosseum where she comes from in Pula. So we were over at the Roman ruins by sort of St Giles Church and things like that. And then she discovered that the Temple of Mithras had been discovered near the mansion house. So we went there walking and there was a big queue, so we didn't go in. But a couple of days later, I was with a few other friends and we were walking around the area and having a look at the things like that. And a gentleman, I presume was a worker, came to the door, opened it, and he said, you know, sort of, we started talking and he said, you want a quick look? So we went in and had a quick look and it was interesting to see it. And that was enough. So I remember that, you know, sort of stuff like that. That's when I was young, I was eight, you know, but it's something you remember on that. And that's it.
It but was nice of him to ask you if you wanted to have a look in.
Sorry?
It was nice of him.
Oh, very nice, gentleman, because I think the basic thing were we weren't disruptive youths. You know, we were just interested in the area and sort of what was going on. You know, it was right near the mansion house. We knew the area very well. And it's just something we were interested in seeing because my mother had spoken to me about the whole thing. That's what we wanted to see. And it was just interesting, and we went there. And it was very interesting later to see where they'd relayed it in the Queen Victoria Street, you know, sort of stuff like that. And it was always interesting for me to say, I saw that before.
Can you remember, I know you were young, but can you remember when he took you onto the site, if there were other members of the public looking around?
There were a few people on there. I honestly can't remember, you know, because we just wanted to go in quickly, have a quick look what it was. You know, just, you know, sort of nosy kids, and then off, you know what I mean? It was, you know, because we were interested, what were they going to build there?
Absolutely. And, you know, your mum said she discovered that the Temple of Mithras had been found.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea how she came across the news?
Not as such, but we had papers and stuff like that, and she used to talk to a lot of people and things like this. And not only that, we used to go and sit on the near St. Giles Church on the nice green by the old stone barbican of the thing there. So I think we're speaking to people. So she may have been told there, you know. She just came and said she'd been advised, you know, not didn't say the word advised, but she'd been told this was near there, and it was told it was near the mansion house, you know.
So you mentioned you were with a couple of friends. In a more general way then, if you could just tell me a little bit about playing with your friends at the time. Did you used to go around the City of London and use it kind of as your playground? Or?
Well, what we used to do is use what is now the Barbican, which was the bomb site, as a playground area. Well, there was a nice green area near the turrets where we could sit down and have stuff like that. There was a couple of trees which we used to take to pieces and make bows and arrows with and stuff like that. But it was very near the area, and walking around the city, because my mother was interested in the city, so she showed me areas to, and my father knew it, and we were walking. And they were from the same primary school as me, so we were all sort of roughly the same. And we just liked walking around the area and seeing various things. Because from our school at St. Joseph's, Bunhill Road, you could see in time for the Lord Mayor's show, there was a rehearsal always just before. So we were always taken out to go and have a look. And things like this, it sort of built up in mind. It's interesting. London's a nice city. There was a lot of open sites because of the result of the bomb damage and things like that. So it was interesting to see where new work was starting when new stuff was being built, and that's one of the things we found that was interesting, looking there.
So you would have kind of walked around quite freely, you wouldn't have, and it's obviously quite close, so you probably wouldn't have gone on the bus then to the site.
It was walking, it was very easy to walk. I think if we'd have wanted a bus, I'd have to take two or three buses to get there, you know, but it was very easy because we'll walk through Cheapside, and quite often we used to walk to Cheapside because there was a Woolworths in Cheapside, you know, so that was the thing there. And the other places, they're historically interested to me now, you know. It's difficult to say what I fully remembered then, but I was triggered off by the family to be interested in history and also military history, so it's something that's stuck with me all my time. And I'll show you quite a few of my books on history and military history.
So how, you've obviously, you know, built up a, you know, a bookcase of texts about history and military history over the years. How else, from being a child, has history stayed with you throughout your life?
Right. One of the things that did help was obviously my father's brother married a lady whose father was the caretaker of the Honourable Artillery Company, which is very near there, the HAC, that provided the escort for the Lord Mayor Show. We were always very near where the Lord Mayor Show was, and we knew the gentleman who looked after it in what was then the City Green Yard, but that was then demolished so they could build the Barbican, and Whitbread's decided to look after the Lord Mayor's coach. And we're speaking to the gentleman, you know, Mr. Stan Burbridge, and Burbridge, if I think it's right, if I remember it. And I was speaking to him, and he said, would I like to help him clean the coach and the harness? I said, of course. So I lived directly opposite. You know, it took me 30 seconds to get from my house to there, and quite often did it. And it was lovely. You know, you see it. It was interesting. It was things, you know, that sort of added to the history. And Whitbread horses used to pull the coach and the things like that. So a lot of stuff was local, you know, it was memory. And also the Honourable Artillery Company was there. So it all linked. And obviously when you start looking at that sort of thing, you look at things associated with it, don't you? Like I can always remember the first Lord Mayor of London, Henry Fitzalwin, 1189. And that name is on the bottom of one of the pictures on the Lord Mayor's coach. You know, so it's there. And other things, you know, it triggers other stuff. The TV Times came once and took pictures of us cleaning the coach and things like that. And various things like that. It's that sort of thing triggers off history. You see various things, you see. And a lot of the stuff was triggered off by actually playing over the Barbican site. You know, because not only that, you see parts of films being made in the area, and that was worth watching as well.
Can you remember any of the films?
No, but I can remember bits and pieces, because obviously the films were not associated with there, but they were filmed in parts of the area that we knew, that we'd walk down, you know, and stuff like that. So this is it. And, you know, when you see the films, oh, I remember that street. I think one of the latest ones was in a part, if I remember rightly, I'm open to correction, but one of the Miss Marple things was done in the inside Bart's Hospital for a while, and things like that. But the whole area, you know, because very near there was Smithfield. That was an interesting thing. And when I was a health inspector in Islington, I had to deal with the inspection of meat on the Islington part of the thing, not in the city. So I had an office in Cowcross Street. So I used to get there very early and deal with it. And so we talked about it. And obviously a thing that was very interesting is if you look at Hercule Poirot's building, a friend of mine used to live in that block.
Right.
And opposite...
Well, sorry, I'm just... Oh, sorry, go on. Opposite?
The land opposite has now been excavated as part of the... link, isn't it, the rail link, but we knew that from the Charter House and stuff like that, and a lot of bodies were buried there as a result of the Black Death.
Golly, well, I was gonna come back to history, and particularly Roman history, actually, because I know your mum was interested in it, and you were interested in history throughout your life. Would you say Roman history was something of particular interest for you?
Not particular interested, but it started it off, you know, and stuff like that. And been to Rome a couple of times, and if you go to Rome, you have to break it down into three areas. You sort of deal with the religious side, the historic side, or the statues and all the paintings and things like that. So, you know, you need to work out what you're going to see.
Yeah.
And obviously, the last time we went, we were there... of the last occasion that JP2 actually came on the balcony. We actually saw him there.
Fantastic, that's great. Yeah. So as your children were growing up, and now that you have a grandchild as well, what has been important to you to convey to them about the importance of history and archaeology and why it's meaningful for you?
Not too much on that, but the main thing with the children was to make sure they were reading. Our daughter is the older one of the two, and she was very good, and she used to like reading to me and Michael in his bedroom and stuff like that. And they were interested in what happened and going abroad and various things like this. Our daughter has accompanied us to Florence, where my aunt, an aunt of mine, used to live. We've been there the other year. We were in Milan. And she'd also come to Pula, where my mother came from. So she saw the thing, and she actually saw the church where my mother and father were married in. So that was very interesting, and things like this. So they've got an understanding of history and knowledge and that, but I don't think they've gone into it to the depth that I did. Because I think, obviously, work affects them at this stage more than it does.
And how would you sum up the importance of history for you? Because it's clearly something you've taken with you throughout your life. Why is it important to you?
Well, I think to me, it meant that one of the cases when I went to Pula, which was then Yugoslavia, it's now called Croatia, I met my great-grandfather, my mother's grandfather, who was in the Austrian cavalry in the First World War, and he was shot, and his horse was shot from under him, and it lay across his legs, which crippled him, and he was a very nice gentleman. I didn't understand the Croatian that he was speaking, but he could speak a bit of Italian, which I understood, and he was a very nice chap. He used to have his army capey on, and when he wanted you, he was grabbed with a stick like that. So that was very interesting. And if you look at Pula, it's a nice sort of town on the Adriatic and was quietly used. And I believe in the Austro-Hungarian part in the First World War, it was the military port, whereas I was born in Trieste, which was the civil port.
So I'm gathering from you then that a sense of your family history has been really important to you.
Yes, I think so. Also, on my father's side, the family history was interesting and various things like that. And obviously, a lot of them were in the armed forces in the Second World War. My Uncle George was based in the fire station near St. Giles Church and stuff like that. And his brother Ted was in the Navy. And then when the bombing seemed to finish in London, George was transferred from the fire station to the Navy. And there's always been interest in the Honourable Artillery Company and associations with there.
I'm just going to go back to the Temple of Mithras, because you did mention that you knew it was recited further down the street later. Did you go and visit it then?
Oh, yes. I've been there several times because friends that have come to London, showing them around London, and I've taken them to the site. It's very easy to look at from... It's in Queen Victoria Street, isn't it? So you look at it over the thing there and explain, yes, I'd seen it before and stuff like that. You know, so they were able, you know, to do it. Because we were looking at other things that were interesting. And tell you what was interesting, to go to the museum at the Bank of England, where you can actually pick up a gold ingot. They won't let you take it home, though.
What was your impression of seeing the Temple of Mithras in its site that it was moved to on Queen Victoria Street?
I think it's very good and interesting because you can actually look at it very, very easily and see it. You know, I think that's the main thing. You know, it's there. You can look at it. Whereas when it was being dug up and things like this, yeah, it's interesting to see that, but it's also interesting to see something when it's finished. You know, and that was finished. So I always found it interesting. And it's, I must admit, I haven't been back there for a few years, but it's something that I will go back to.
Well, you won't know, actually, because it's been moved. No. It's in storage in readiness for when it's recited, when the Bloomberg headquarters opens. Oh. So, you know, it's Bloomberg that's building on the site, and that's why we're doing this project now.
Well, it's disappeared from Queen Victoria Street then, has it?
Disappeared from Queen Victoria Street, but it will be back more or less in its exact location, bar a few feet, in 2017, and it'll be in a dedicated exhibition space.
When was it taken away, just out of interest?
I think it might have been 2011, I'm not too sure. Yeah. In the last 2 or 3 years.
Yeah.
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah.
And staying with the Temple of Mithras, I know you were quite young at the time, but did you have a sense of how much the public in general were interested in the fact that this Roman discovery had been
found? Well, yes, having seen the crowd on the first day, you know, and it was a crowd queuing up to go in that at the time I cannot remember seeing before. You know what I mean? It's not like us going into a thought. You know, that's why we wanted to go back and have a look. There was something of interest to people. You know, so it must have caught a lot of people's attention and interest to go and have a look at it.
Oh, I didn't realise you'd seen the crowd. So yes, that was what...
Yes, I thought I'd mentioned it before, that we walked that way with my mother and we saw a crowd and she said, I'm not going to bother to queue. Sorry, I do apologise.
Oh, I see. So you went with her originally because she'd heard that it had been discovered. Yes. So you went together. She saw the crowd and thought, that's too much. You know, And then you went back separately with your friends. With
friends, yeah. Not the same day, a few days later, sort of.
So did your mum ever see the temple herself?
No, I don't think she ever did. You know, she saw the relayed one, so to speak. Yes, she saw that, you know. But I remember telling her, I thought, thank you for doing that, you know, and we'll see it when it's moved, you know.
Yeah. And why do you think so many people around London and throughout the country were excited about the discovery of the Roman temple?
Well, I think at the particular time, now this is knowing afterwards, you know, sort of, I think the reason a lot of them went there wasn't a lot else to see. You know, I'm not being nasty, but I think that was possibly it, you know, sort of stuff like that. And also with the devastation that was still around a lot of London, you know, it was something beneficial to see, as opposed to, oh, look, there's another bomb site.
Absolutely, no, I think that's a really good point. But it's funny that your mum, who was really interested in Roman history, she couldn't bear the thought of the queuing, so she didn't bother.
Well, this was it, you know, sort of, it's one of those things, you know.
And perhaps she'd seen quite a lot already.
Well, she's, obviously, as I say, in Pula, which was Pola when it was Italy, the Colosseum, I've been to the Colosseum several times. It's very nice, and it's used for film displays and things like this, unlike the one in Rome. I personally prefer it to the one in Rome.
Interesting.
You know, you're not sort of stuck with all the touts outside like you are in Rome.
So I know you went with a couple of friends to see the site, and you can't remember their names. You of course lost touch a long time ago. Have you ever come across anybody else that visited the site at the time?
Not visited the site when it was being excavated, but I've spoken to a few people in general talking and discussions about the area. They said, they've been to see it on its redeployed site. You know what I mean? So we were able to talk about that, you know. So that was where the conversation came in. Then conversations built around to other matters about Roman stuff, and I asked them had they visited the Roman Wall near London Wall and stuff like that, and the round tower, which is actually the Barbican. Oh, and a couple of them said didn't realise that.
And how much did you come to understand about the significance of Mithras and what Mithras represented?
Not a great deal. I think what I found out at that time, I'd forgotten really all about. You know what I mean? It's one of the things, because it's like I don't remember too much on Roman gods and stuff like that, you know.
Yeah, it's complicated. There's lots of them, aren't there? Yeah.
Well, especially, you know, then you can mix them up with the Greek gods.
Absolutely. Like that. Very easily done. So you don't have any photos or drawings or diary entries or anything from then, do you?
No,
that's fine. Okay, well, I think we're more or less done. Is there anything else that you want to add?
No, I'd just like to thank you for coming here and contacting and coming here and enabling me to talk a bit about it and talk about what happened and talk about my mother, who was very nice, you know, sort of very pleased with her.
Oh, well, you're very welcome. Thank you for contacting the project. Did you hear about us on the radio?
Yes, I was on the radio.
On Robert Elms or on the Today programme?
I think it was the Today programme. That's what it was and stuff like that.
Great.
And, you know, sort of, it's one of those things, you know, it's your memory goes, but then something happens and it twigs a thing, doesn't it? And it just sort of brought me back to when I was very young, you know. But as I say, living where we did by the in the brewery and stuff like that, and we used to play all over the bomb site and things like this, and you know, it was interesting.
Absolutely, a very particular point.
So we were
history.
Able to see, you know, sort of the development.
Yeah, and so many changes in the City of London over decades.
Yes. Yeah. Some are for the benefit. Some are not, you know.
Can you say any more about that?
Well, it's difficult to sort of say, because we did like to see the Roman turret and stuff like that. Well, you've got to go into the Barbican now to see it and things like this. But the other thing is, it's nice to have the London Museum at the end there, so you go and see that and see the various things there. So it's brought the good things there. And a lot of the other changes, a lot of the buildings by the side of the Barbican are now being demolished. The old City of London mortuary, well, the first one was the other side of Whitecross Street, and then they moved to near Silk Street and Moore Lane there, didn't they? That way they built it there, and that's gone, and there's another big horrible building there now. It's all glass and stuff like that, so I can't say I like too much of the big glass stuff now, but it was interesting.
Yeah.
So that's what brought me to it.
Okay. Great. Yeah, thank you so much. Thank you very much.